So here is a person who was so wealthy, who achieved so much, was so famous. I think in this world everybody knew his name. And he had practically, accomplishment wise, he was probably one of the biggest who achieved so much, amassed so much wealth, or such reputation. But now you say, what means? Where is God? And I wonder not only where he is now, but I wonder how he must have been feeling when he was leaving. There can be two possibilities. One possibility is one becomes unconscious and doesn't have any memory. Or the other consideration is that he realizes now he has to leave. And he has to leave everything behind. Everything behind. He won't be able to take anything with him. Not a single penny from his wealth. Not a single grain of his reputation. Not a single aspect of his achievements. So this is what the life is in. And now what's his situation? Like, consider. Like, he had everything. In this material nature, he had everything. Probably he should have been one of the most content persons. Probably he was. But then all of a sudden, just consider, he has nothing. All of a sudden he has nothing. No place to live. Doesn't know where to go, not a single penny with him. And that is what happens when people lead a life, materialistic life, a life completely based on their material aspect. Then at the time of death and after death, they are just completely lost. Many a times they don't want to leave this body because they are afraid. They are reluctant to leave. And that's the time Jagadutas have to come and track. Although they don't want to leave, but they're forced to leave. The subtle body is dragged down into this body and taken to Jamaraj for judgment. So that is life. And now let us consider, if Steve Jobs was a devotee, if Steve Jobs took Prabhupada's teachings seriously, he somehow came to ISKCON but could not really take advantage. Like you are just saying that, I mean, during his student life, he used to get a 4 square meal. A square meal only on the Sundays when he used to go to ISKCON temple to attend the Sunday feast. He remembers that. But the thing is, what did he do for that? He had so much money. He could have given some to ISKCON as an expression of his gratitude. That he's expressing, he's saying that he got such help from ISKCON. Anyway, not that ISKCON is interested about money, but just consider, if he came to ISKCON, if he became a devotee of ISKCON, then what would have happened? From Prabhupada's teaching, you would have understood that this life is not everything. beyond this life, there is another existence. At the time of death, we have to leave and then go to our next life. If you are in ISKCON, if you took to Prabhupada's teachings, then you would have known that beyond this physical existence, there is a spiritual existence, the soul. The spirit soul is there. And the soul is the real self. And it is due to the soul's conditioning and karmic reaction that he is entrapped in this body. His duration, the soul's engagement, soul's existence in the body is simply because of his karmic reaction. The way he acted in the past, accordingly, he will get the result. Similarly, the way he is acting now, he will get the result. That is called karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, there will be the reaction. Now, if you act in a good way, you get good results. If you act in a wrong way, you get punishment. Punishment means suffering in this world. When we suffer, we have to understand that we have done something in the past. As a result of that, we get punishment. When we are enjoying, we have to understand that we have done something good in the past. That's where we are enjoying. But this suffering and enjoyment is only temporary. The real business is to get out of this material nature. Because as long as we are in the material nature, sometimes we will enjoy, sometimes we will suffer. In this, our existence will make us rotate, make us travel in this material nature, in different planetary systems, through different types of bodies. The higher existence is joyful, happiness. Lower type of existence is suffering. Someone is rich, someone is very good looking, someone is very not wise, someone is very famous. They all come as a result of this past karma. So in this life, somebody is enjoying the results of his previous life. Now in this life, he acts, although he has so many facilities, you know, he has so much money, he looks so handsome, beautiful, and he is so famous, he is also so learned. These are the results of his good karma. But in this life, if he acts in a bad way, then next life he will get a life, get a birth, where he will be very ugly, he will be very poor, he will be very ignorant, and he will be very infamous. So if, as long as we are here, we just keep on cycling, traveling through different types of bodies. Somebody will give us pleasure, somebody will give us pain. But the real business is to get out of this material nature. Because as long as we are here, you know, like, we cannot get a permanent situation. Our situation will always be temporary. In this life, if I am enjoying, when this life is over, who knows what will happen in the next life. Or if in this life I am suffering, that suffering also will go. And another phase will come. So both enjoyment and suffering in this material nature is temporary. So the real intelligent thing to do is to get out of the material nature. Now getting out of the material nature means what? It actually means to become situated in our actual situation. Like, they take a fish out of water, bring it to the land. Will the fish be happy? He will die. Now, in that land, you may give the fish all the money, give him best house to live in, the most comfortable situation to be in. will the fish be happy? Why not? Because he is in a foreign situation. He is not in its original or actual situation. Now, you take the fish back into water. What do you have? Immediately. There he won't need any house or money or anything. Just by being there, he'll become happy because he belongs to God. Similarly, we are spiritual beings, but we have fallen into the material. And we are trying, so naturally, because we are away from our actual situation, in this world, no matter whatever we get, we are never, we are never satisfied. Like we may have all the money, we may have all the comfort, we may have all the luxuries and facilities. Like, we'll never be. Because we are at the wrong place. We are spiritual beings, but this is a non-spiritual situation. Therefore, we must try to go back to our original situation. Like fish back to water. Spiritual being back to the spiritual situation. And that is the spiritual information. That is the wisdom that Prabhupada gave. Like, and then what happens? Then, when you become situated spiritually, then when you are in the material nature, there also you are happy, and when you go there, there also. So, it's very simple teaching, but solves all our problems. Especially, you see, the difficulty will be, the real test will come at the time of death. That's why we have to keep that point fixed in our mind. Someday we're going to die, and when we die, what will happen? Like, just we can try to imagine. Say, for example, the other day, I was in Russia. I don't speak the language. And most of the people there don't speak. Now, if I was alone in Russia, just all of a sudden, I was actually imagining that. If all of a sudden I had to come to Russia and be there, and you know, if I didn't have any friend, if I didn't have any previous arrangement, if I didn't have any money with me, what would be my situation? There, nobody understands my language, nobody knows me, I won't have any place to live, I won't have any food to eat. But, you know, my situation was not like that. I went there, devotees came to receive me. They drove me to the temple or where the program was. And they made nice arrangements. Like some of my disciples, they didn't like the arrangement that originally was made, because you know, it's there were 3,000 devotees, and it is an old kind of you know, retreat place. They call it a sanatorium. People go there to recuperate from their previously, during the communist time, it used to be a pioneer camp. The youth used to come there. So, effectively, they were not there. So, they just made arrangements. They rented a place for me in a building which just came up. Nobody lived there. So, you know, and you find everything new. So, and I was thinking that this is the benefit that you get from being a part of Srila Prabhupada's institution. Otherwise, who am I? If I didn't come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, I would have been another face in the crowd. But because of Srila Prabhupada, and I was thinking that, or I pray to Krishna that after death, you know, it will be something like that. When I leave my body, somebody will be there to receive me, and there will be some arrangements that. And not only me, I mean, I think that is what's going to happen to all of us, those who have accepted Srila Prabhupada's teaching. You know, like, and all we have to do is just accept his teachings. Prabhupada is not expecting anything from us. Like, you know, if you consider the boys and girls who joined those days, you know, they were practically from the streets, most of them. You know, they were coming from wealthy background. The parents were rich. But they left everything, they became hippies. And they were living in on the streets. And they were completely lost. And obviously, Prabhupada had to take care of them. Initially, that's why they became so much attracted to Srila Prabhupada. They saw that here is a person who cared for them. You know, Prabhupada cooked for them, you know, fed them. They didn't have any place to live. Prabhupada arranged, okay. And initially, you know, the ashram, the girls were not kind of, no one thought of the girl. But then one girl, you know, she just came and decided not to leave. And Prabhupada let her stay the next room. Prabhupada tried to convince her, no, you go back, stay with your parents. And her reaction was that they don't care for me. So why should I go back to them? I don't want to live with them. But you know, you care for me, so I want to be with you. So this is the kind of, you know, like they did not really come to sort of, or rather they came to Srila Prabhupada just to get everything, not only spiritual spiritual situation, security, but even material existence also, you know, Prabhupada provided for them. And the thing is that Prabhupada did not get anything from them. Prabhupada just gave them and gave them. And then they returned, gave in return. They loved Srila Prabhupada, and for Srila Prabhupada's sake, they are prepared to do anything. And they have done. They have done. They have gone to different parts of the world and started to preach. They started to preach, like, and that's how the movement expanded. Prabhupada was so inspiring that way. And at the bottom of it is what actually was the cause of it. Love. You know, they saw that Prabhupada cared for them. Prabhupada loved them. You know, like Prabhupada cared not only for their present situation, Prabhupada was paving the way for the next life. So those who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, they were saved. And that way, you know, those, many of them actually left the shelter, you know, for various reasons. It's understandable. Like when Prabhupada was here, there were about 10,000 devotees. Prabhupada had about 6,000 initiated devotees, and worldwide another 4,000 following him. who are not initiated. But today how many Prabhupada disciples are there? And from those days very few are actually. Many of them are left. But I am confident that at the time of death, or if not at the time of death, when they get old, like, you see, passion makes us forget about the importance of spiritual. Passion, the mode of passion, motivates us to enjoy the material. So as long as the mode of passion is predominant, we want to enjoy the material nature, we want to control the material nature. But then what happens? The youth goes, and along with youth, passion also goes. So old age actually comes, you know, with more sobriety. We become more sober. And then you begin to realize that why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? And that way, by nature's arrangement, you know, we'll gradually come to a situation, old age. Then, you know, because we have the knowledge, at old age, you know, we will ponder over it and become serious about it. And it happened, many devotees, if not many, at least I remember some devotees, who left ISKCON, who gave up spiritual life, and, you know, they were completely lost. You know, so much so that, you know, they had AIDS. But when they were dying, when they realized that they were going to die, they came back to the temple. And they left their body and associated with devotees. So when you leave your body surrounded by devotees, hearing the holy name, you know, that creates the good fortune. So now, although many devotees have left, I am confident that many of them will come back. I heard about one devotee in Philadelphia. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was telling me, he is the leader of Philadelphia. And he was telling me that there was one devotee, one person, like a hippie. He had been coming for 20 years or so, but he didn't become a devotee. He had been coming from early 70s. Then one day, he just came and he said he wanted to move into the temple. So he asked him, what happened? I mean, after 20 years, what made you change your mind? And he told them he has been diagnosed of cancer. So now that he realized that he is going to die, now he is just coming back to the temple. So that is also good. Like no matter when and that, as long as you come to the lotus feet of Krishna, you are saved. So, Prabhupada has given us everything, and now the question is how sincerely you are going to apply it. I notice it, you know, like, I mean, how sincerity lacks, you know, that our surrender is not really genuine, our commitment is not really 100%. I was reflecting on that the other day. You know, I was dreaming. And when I woke up, it just occurred to me that how often do I dream of Krishna? So, I mean, honestly speaking, I don't dream of Krishna that much. And that made me think that my subtle bodily existence is not spiritual in situation. In the gross body I am practicing, but the subtle body hasn't become deemed into spiritual life. If it did, then if the subtle body was, then I would have remembered Krishna even when I was asleep. And I would have dreamt of Krishna at that time. I was still realizing this. That's a long way to go. Anyway, Prabhupada has given us, and now as I say, like that what really matters is how sincerely it applies in our lives. Okay, I wanted to have a discussion, so I'd like to hear your thoughts. What's your thoughts?
I come up with this book and the publisher of that book was there in the flight. So he offered me some his prasad and I made this book and made Krishna conscious.
So just by eating Prabhupada's breakfast.
Yeah.
So this is how Prabhupada has been affecting different individuals. And ISKCON is growing. ISKCON is growing. Very nice. People are becoming affected by Prabhupada's teaching. Mukesh, what are your thoughts? You are telling me that just a little while ago that how much you are impressed by that lecture of Srila Prabhupada. Maybe you can share it with us.
It was so simple but so effective. Like, really, it's here the real peak. Yes, something. What he says is so simple, but I never thought of it.
So, what are your thoughts? Share some thoughts with us. Now you're chanting. Now what made you chant?
My was my cousin. I was in Switzerland. She came to me and she promised me. This will be the end of all the tensions. And this is what happened. I was lost. Completely lost in the world.
But now you are situated in knowledge.
I have no basis, nothing. Whatever is there, I don't speak to Krishna. This was it.
Thank you. Children were
very small.
Your son is in Dubai now?
No, one has just come back and getting married in November.
Okay. He is with the shipping company.
Yeah.
That is stationed here?
No.
In
this? Yeah, the company is stationed, but he keeps staying.
Okay.
He's on the ship, African officer.
Okay. Yeah, right. He's the second one. Very good boy. You trained him up. You trained both of them. Right? And your daughter also is getting married.
She's back.
I got the invitation.
I brought them up with very difficult. Krishna's blessings.
No, material nature is like that. Sometimes there is happiness, sometimes there is. We have to just tolerate that and carry on. And the real thing is to become situated in the spiritual. Then what happens? Everything then is below you. It doesn't affect you. The example is given like lotus. Lotus is in water, but it doesn't touch the water. When you take to spiritual life, it becomes like that. You are in the water. The water doesn't touch you. You don't touch you. You know why? What's your realization?
One question is like we say subtle body we have and it should be like that should be also input with Krishna all the time. When Ajamku left his body, he just called Nara. He had a subtle body also. So how did he take it?
Yeah. You see, Prabhupada explains it in this way, that Ajamil, when he was young, you know, he was trained up in spiritual life. But then he fell down. Then he became degraded. And when the Jamadutas came and he was about to leave his body, he happened to call out the name of his son, Narayana. But although he called his son, but just the name Narayana brought back all the memories of his early days when he was in the body. And that, you know, brought him. Had its effect. So when he chanted Narayan, although he meant to call his son, but that name actually took him to that spiritual situation. So
I have one question. As you mentioned, this philosophy is very simple about Krishna consciousness, but application of this philosophy looks a bit difficult because the material nature is so complicated. Even the philosophy is simple, it becomes so complicated to practice this philosophy in this environment. We are living in so much of our pressure from the society. So different. How do we keep it going?
That's why association of devotees is so important. Like when you're in devotee association, when you're in a temple environment, it kind of becomes an atmosphere is conducive. You automatically become serious. That's one consideration. The other consideration is on your own part, you have to be serious. Like, just going to school is not enough. When you go to school or college, you have to study the course. Then only you pass the exams. And the third consideration is that when you sincerely surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take you. Because Krishna is there. When you say, Krishna, I'm surrendering to you, you know, Krishna will naturally reciprocate. So these are the three possibilities. And the most important thing is that we surrender to Krishna. And leave it up to him, whatever he wants. So, leave it up. On our part, we try our best. And as far as the result goes,
my daughter, as she's growing, she's turning out to be like what she wants to do. So recently, like what you're saying, you surrender to Krishna. I always tell Jagannath, whatever you want to do, you can handle it. It's so difficult when once the child is growing, she won't listen to me. It's like, and when she comes from the school, she wants to sit in front of the TV, watch TV and eat. There is an open house to these guys. The teacher calls and we have to go and see the teacher and the child also comes. So that time the teacher said, this girl was so good, I'm so much disappointed with her. And then she was saying that example. My father used to just have a bell and used to go on the dining table and eat. He never used to sit in front of the TV and eat. See how Krishna gave that point to the teacher and she started speaking about this point. And I was amazed. And after that incident, she's not been watching TV while eating. She just sits on the dining table, she goes on the dining table and she eats. I always have been telling Krishna, Jagannath is the boss of the house, he'll handle everything, I'm not worried about.
Right.
So this is how it changed in just few seconds. It's one of the best incidents. I was so shocked. She was shocked. How did teacher come to know that I'm eating right in front of the TV?
Right.
Krishna told.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yeah. Krishna is.
Yeah.
You also took shelter of Krishna and Krishna took care of you.
And that's what I used to tell her. See, you're all alone. Krishna will take more care of you than me also.
Right.
Because you're alone. As a woman, you're all alone. Take care of her. Then she became more serious. Like Kunti Devi, I gave the example of Kunti Devi. So how Krishna used to take, because she was alone.
Yeah, Krishna is so kind. And that's why, you know, once we get to know him, you know, there is no way we can turn away from him.
Exactly. There is no other way out.
There is no other way out.
And there is no other
path. It's actually...
He left. So, I mean, he was not really a devotee, but he was kind of in some way in touch. So, what was the kind of security, because, you know, it would be created? What is the benefit he will get in the next life? You know, just that small amount. I heard in one of the Maharaji lectures that when one hears the holy name once, at least he'll get the human body, even if he knows once. And so, I just wanted, like, what is How do you cope according to Shastra?
Well, this is how Krishna is actually creating the Sukriti for the living entity. In the form of appearing himself as incarnation. The holy name is also an incarnation. It's a very special incarnation. Other incarnations come and go. As the holy name, he is here, creating the good fortune for the living entity. And this good fortune is being created through the devotee's mercy. Devotees are going out and giving out the holy name. Krishna is exceptionally kind in the age of Kali. Because we became so unqualified. You know, we do not have any qualification. Therefore Krishna has come, Krishna's mercy has come down to pick us up. We on our own are not able to stand up. But Krishna's mercy has come to pick us up. And an example can be given in this respect, that the mother is not so much concerned about the grown-up children. But the weakest one, the youngest one, and when that young one is sick, the mother stays by his side through the whole night, taking care. Similarly, Krishna has become so kind and so merciful to the living entities of this age, because they are so, you know, because they are the weakest. They are the most hopeless, and on top of that, they are sick. So Krishna is taking care. So, wonderful.
Like, so, how do you foresee, like, what is the advantage, like, Steve Jobs, you know, like, topic or discussion, so because he used to come and, you know, at least we should take prasad. So like, what, like, if you see,
maybe some good fortune will be there, but it's not, it could have been even better. Like for example, George Harrison, we know, you know, Prabhupada took care of him, because what he has done for Srila Prabhupada. And the way he develops his attachment to Shiva, you know, obviously he's saved. But Steve Jobs, you know, we can't really say anything.
I have one statement for that.
Yeah.
Something from July, August. He is then the CEO, and he then now the Apple doesn't require me because I'm not confident here. I think that has come from here.
From that good fortune that he has created.
Yeah, very.
I mean, obviously, he's a good man. You can see that. And obviously, he'll get the benefit.
It says like 1 month later. Yeah, I think he decided to CEO just 1 month later.
Yeah. But it would have been even better if he came to ISKCON temples, read Prabhupada's books. Then the knowledge would have been, you know, he is preparing for death, but he doesn't know how to prepare. Right? That, you know, like, so much could have been, so much benefit he could have derived.
Because his dream came to, he was visionary, he visited for that iPhone 4X. And the day it's released next day, so that's a, I feel it's a fortune.
Yeah, naturally, he's fortunate.
Krishna fulfills everybody's desire. Krishna fulfills everybody's desire.
No, the other way to look at it also is that obviously he is fortunate. Otherwise, to get this kind of, you know, from nothing to rise to that, you know, obviously, you know, he has a lot of good fortune to back it. But my point was that, you know, like, probably he'll be born next time. He'll be born in ISKCON. Because, you know, this movement is going to create an incredible, you know, effect on this world. You know, the way it is growing, you know, like 10 years back, our awareness, people's awareness of Krishna consciousness was, you know, nowhere near what it is today. And of course there are other things also, because you see, ISKCON is facing many attacks, and those attacks are coming from within. You know, within in the sense, those who have been devotees and now they left, you know, they are attacking. Some people from within are attacking us. But, you know, this is also Krishna's arrangement to make it stronger. It's like, if that challenge was not there, they probably would become complacent, would become weak, would become vulnerable. But these attacks are making us stronger. ISKCON, in one hand, internally ISKCON is becoming stronger, and externally ISKCON's effect is spreading. The main thing is, you know, what Prabhupada gave is the real benefit. Just consider, the world has so many problems today. Now, all these politicians and leaders and thinkers, are they able to solve any of these problems? Rather, they are increasing the problem. On the other hand, let us consider, like when we take to Krishna consciousness or when we take to Prabhupada's teaching, do our problems get solved? So, we can actually ask all the devotees who have accepted Krishna consciousness how their life has been. Like as she was saying, she had problems. She took to Krishna consciousness. The problem was. Now, doesn't that imply that when somebody takes to Krishna consciousness, his or her problems become solved? Now, if everybody in this world takes to Krishna consciousness, will there be any problem at this point? So, what is the real solution to the problem is there in teachings of Shri. So it's just a matter of accepting and applying his knowledge. Yes, Pankaj, Lochans.
Is this our only karma which will decide our activity or our future, or it is karma and mercy of devotees?
You see, there are two things. Karma is, as long as you are taking your fruits of your actions. When you are enjoying or you are acting and enjoying the fruits of your action, or thinking that you deserve the fruits of your action, then you are liable to karma. But when you surrender to Krishna, then there is no more karma. then it is,
yes,
you are under Krishna's control. But still, you surrender to Krishna. But if we question, how much? What is the degree of your surrender? 100%? 90%? 50%? 10%? So according to the degree of your surrender, Krishna will take care of you. When you are 100% surrendered to Krishna, Krishna will take care of you 100% fully. But what actually, if we honestly, you know, probe into it, then we will see, no. Although we are saying that we are surrendered to Krishna, but that surrender is not to that extent. So often we are thinking we are the doer, we are the enjoyer, we are the proprietor. But doesn't matter. We started the process, keep on practicing, and the result will be. The main thing is, when you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of you. Okay. Dasera has two aspects. One aspect is that Devi is worshipped on this day, at this time. And the other aspect is that Ramchandra killed Ravan on this day. That's why we burn Ravan's effigy. The Ravan's killed. The battle that took place between Ram and Ravan ended on this day.
Whether
the battle lasted for 10 days? Did the battle last for 10 days? Or I don't know where it's at. Kurukshetra's battle lasted for 18 days. Ramchandra's battle probably it's 10 days. Started. Ramchandra started his journey towards Lanka on the Abhijit Nakshatra. That is, he left Kishkindha with the monkeys, with the Abhijit Nakshatra, because that was considered to be an auspicious day. I don't remember, I could check it, how many days the battle was. But this Devi worship also is not quite in tune, because generally the Devi is worshipped in Vasanta Kala, in springtime. The real Durga Puja, worship of Durga, is meant to be in Vasanta.
March.
But another way of looking at it, probably this is the time when the gopis worshipped Katha in the day. That can be a reason why Devi worship. Because on this day they worshipped. And Krishna, they worship Devi. They worship Devi for the whole month. The entire month. But probably that they worship ended on this day. And then Krishna danced with him on Sharad Purnima. You see, this is Dasami. Then Ekadasi, Dwadasi, Tridasi, Chaturdasi, Purnima. On the 15th day, Krishna danced with Sharad Purnima. That is Sharad Purnima. Yeah, mainly the celebration is Ramchandra killing Ravana. And then comes Deepavali, when after killing Ravana, Ramchandra arrives in Ayodhya.
Why do they celebrate this Dandiya in Bombay, Maharashtra? They celebrate
Dandiya is actually is a rasa dance. Dandiya is a depiction of rasa dance. Krishna's dancing. Child, as long as he is holding his father's hand, does he have any tension? But if he thinks that, oh, my father won't be able to take care of me, I have to take care of myself, then he gets into tension. So similarly, when you depend upon Krishna, then why do you worry? Why should you worry? And that's the thing, like, we have to learn to surrender. It's a practice, it has to, don't happen overnight. You're serving out the halwa? That's what you take on Dasami
day? No, I don't take some sweet from outside.
Because today is Dasami. That's it.
So those sweets are Dasera sweets. What to do nowadays, I try not to eat after sunset. Okay, maybe today I'll just eat. This is Chiku.
Chiki.
The different varieties.
I heard. He gave this.
And he didn't charge, like we kind of forced him. We told him that, you know, for you.
So make plates to everyone, for everyone.
Just give this one. One piece you can give out.
To everyone? Okay.
You can. How you give cookies in that way? I mean, devotees can come and take from you.
Okay.
I mean, please, really.
Okay, serve the halwa. Yes, serve the halwa.
Yes, take the halwa.
Can you come on Ekadashi Bindu?
Yes, sure.
You can come?
Yeah, sure. You don't have to ask. It's your house. May I wait? Give some more halwa. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Nikai Chandra. You got your plate?
Yeah.
Where is it? Ekadashi means day after tomorrow.
Saturday.
Today is
Yeah.